Where does loving Jesus lead us? That's the scripture title for today. And the underlying theme is the consequences of loving Jesus. Thinking about consequences, I thought about as I was mentally preparing to go to school this week and the drive to Atlanta, I'm going to be taking a new route. Usually I leave from Palatka, which is not here, it's somewhere else. So I'll be taking a new route part of the way. And what's the one thing we do when we plan out a trip? And I'm sure many of us will be going on summer trips, either for vacation or work trips or school trips or whatever. So what's the one thing we do before we ever hit the road, most of us? We get the map out and we look and we say, okay, we want to end up here and we're starting here and what's the best route? And, you know, we got to be sure we take this road and how do we get there? And we lay it all out, don't we? And then we get on the road and what happens? About couple hours down the road, we're going along, we're listening to some good Christian music on the radio and thinking about things, and all of a sudden we get this feeling. We get this feeling inside that something's not right. And we start really paying attention to where we're at, and we go, I don't remember that highway on my route. And so we pull off the side of the road and we get the map out, and lo and behold, 50 miles back, we missed a turnoff. Now what do we do? Do we go back? Try to find that turnoff? Well, for me, I don't like to do that. To me, that's wasting time. I hate to go back. You can ask my wife. I'd rather keep going in the unknown than to go back. But it's a question we have to ask ourselves at this point. Do we go back? Or do we look at the map and try to find another route from where we're at this point to go on to get to where we want to go? What do we do? And somewhere in this whole process of getting ourselves out of this mess, one of the things that usually runs through our mind is, where does this road that I'm on right now take me to? If I stay on this road, what am I going to get? Where am I going to end up at the other end? Doesn't it? We think, well, maybe if we just keep going a little further. My father, when we used to travel as a family, my father, I loved him. I love him. But he we'd get in the road, and he never used a map. You know, he was from the old school, you know, oh, men don't need maps. And we'd get going down this road, and my mother would be going, now, you know, I don't think we're going the right way. Oh, just around this next curve, you know, around this next hill. We'll find our way, you know. Somehow he came out smelling like a rose every time, and I haven't figured that out, but we'd always end up on an adventure somewhere. But we end up somehow wondering, where is this road taking us to? That's the point. And that's kind of what the sermon is about. When we get on the road to being a Christian disciple, when we get on the road to loving Jesus the way we're supposed to, where does it lead us? Where does that road take us? You know, we probably are asked that question as Christians when we're out sharing with somebody about Jesus Christ. They say, well, what do I get? What do I have to do? You know, and we're going, well, you know, you got to come to church every Sunday, you know. Where does it take us? Well, part of what happens is action and reaction. And action and reaction is true in our everyday lives, isn't it? Like when we make decisions about what direction we're going to take on a map, on a highway. Or if I go to school, when I go to school, if I decide I'm just not going to turn in a couple of these assignments, they're just boring. I'm not going to do it. That's an action. And I guarantee you my professors will certainly have a reaction to that, and it'll probably show up on my grade. Or when we go to the grocery store and we get a buggy full of groceries, that's an action, isn't it? We're going to get groceries. And they expect us to pay for those at the door. That's a reaction. And if we don't, they will definitely react to us by chasing us down in the parking lot. Action, reaction. And it happens in our everyday lives. And what the scripture is talking about this morning is that it also happens in our spiritual lives. If we don't read the Bible, if we decide, I'm not reading the Bible this week, I'm just going to put it down, I'm not going to read it. That's an action. We've taken an action. The reaction to that is we're not going to learn anything that week that we might have needed to learn. Our faith won't grow any further. That's how God's going to react to that decision. If we don't take time in our day-to-day doings to pray and to spend time with God and listening to God for direction, we're not going to hear. That's the reaction we're going to get. God will say, you're not praying and talking to me, I'm not going to talk to you. Action and reaction. Action and consequences. Whatever we do, we know this, we learned this in grade school, whatever we do has a consequence. Whatever action we take is going to have a reaction, right? Love brings about the greatest consequences or reactions. It does. Think about it in terms of the man and woman. You got a young man and a young woman, and they start to date a little bit, and what happens? They fall in love, don't they? So he kind of likes her, and he says, wow, I'm really falling in love with her. So what does he do? He brings her flowers and candies and nice cars, right? Well, she reacts to that, hopefully positively. Makes him a good meal, holds his hand, spends time with him. So it's a reaction. Okay? So their love builds, right? And they're constantly reacting to this love. And what's one major reaction to the love as it builds? Marriage. The guy says, I really love this girl and I just want to be with her the rest of my life. So he asks her to marry him. And then he sweats it. Is she going to say okay or not? And she finally says yes. She reacts to his question, to his love. He puts his love into action by asking her to marry him. He reacts yes, which is actually putting her love into action as well. So they get married and the love goes on, and what's another reaction to this love? Children. Now some young parents may say children is a distraction to love, but it's actually a reaction. So they have children. Children is a great reaction to love when it's within a marriage. And children's another good example of love in action and reaction. We love our children. We sacrifice for them. We teach them right from wrong, and we work three jobs so they can have the education that we didn't have. And in return, they react to that love because they trust us and they love us more than anybody else. You know, when their world is coming to an end, they don't go to a neighbor or a stranger. They come to us. Because we've invested in that love with them, they react back. Sometimes they even respect us. So loving is action and reaction. You know, it's action and consequence. So as we see, loving another leads to action on an individual's part. It means if you love somebody, you got to tell them and you got to show it to them, right? You can't just tell your wife, I love you, and not invest something in that. Now, I went through this particular phenomenon early in my marriage. I love my wife, and I would tell her that every day. But invariably, I would come home late. See, I had a great job, and I loved working it. And she didn't mind. But when I'd come home, and the dinner was cold, and all those things, and she'd say, if you would just call me and let me know you're going to be late, I'll put the food in the microwave. I don't mind if you work late. She knew I was at work. She knew I wasn't out doing something I wasn't supposed to. And all she wanted me to do was respect her enough to call her and let her know I was going to be late so she could put my dinner in the microwave and her and my daughter could go on and eat. And I'd go, oh, you're right, honey, and I'm sorry, and I love you. And the next day, I'd do the same thing again. Now, you know, this went on for a while, and do you think that she really thought I loved her? Do you really think she believed that I loved her? I'm not sure. I'm sure there was some doubt because I obviously didn't respect her. I loved her, and I said the words, but I didn't invest it in actions. I didn't put my words into actions and say, and to show her that I love her by respecting her, by calling her. So love leads to action on a person's part, an individual's part. And when you put your love into action, it leads to great blessings, as we've seen. Our children grow up to be loving adults that care about us. They love us back. They respect us back. We may wonder sometimes on the road whether they do, but when they finally do grow up, it amazes us. When we invest in our spouse, they love us back. They do things for us too. So you have to put your love into action, but then you also get blessings. And this is exactly what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples and us in the scripture today. It's the same for him. The same rules apply. When you love Jesus, you can't just say it. When you love Jesus, it means sacrifice, but it also means blessings. Let me pull out some of the scripture and show you what I mean. Jesus says in here that when you love him, you must obey him. That means if he calls you to go to the ends of the earth and be a missionary or preach the gospel or feed the hungry or whatever, you got to go. Or if he calls you to do something in church, you got to go. You have to obey him. Whatever he asks you to do, whatever he puts on your heart to do, you've got to obey him and do it. He demands it. Further, he demands that if you really love him, you'll put those words for love in action. It's nice when we come together here in church and we tell each other how much we love Jesus, or, you know, we see our favorite friends, you know, that we know are Christians and it's safe, and we tell each other how much we know Jesus, how much we love Jesus, but we've got to put that into action. If all we ever do is say, we love Jesus, yes we do, we love Jesus, how about you? And we don't put it into actions, we don't get out and get our hands dirty in the ministry, in God's ministry, then we're falling short. He wants you to talk the talk, but walk the walk. And finally, he asks for total devotion. That means putting Christ above everybody and everything else. If you've got a list that you list off who and what you love, he's got to be at the top. Total devotion. He demands it. He demands it. So the road to loving Christ, to being a Christian disciple, means you have to obey Jesus Christ and his commands, and where he calls you to go, and what he calls you to be. It means that you have to take that love for him and put it into action. Show people through your actions. Don't just tell them. You know, one of the things they teach us in seminary, and you've heard this too, one of the greatest ways to witness to somebody is through your actions. If you go to work on Monday morning and you wear the cross and you talk about how much you love Jesus, but when a crisis happens at work, you're the first one to fall apart and start cussing and swearing and throwing stuff around the office, are you really witnessing to those people? That's what he's talking about. Don't just say it, live it. Obey, put your words into action, and total devotion. Now I know you're thinking, okay, Pastor, you got me down. Okay, this sounds like a lot of hard work. Preacher, we're doing all the giving here. Where's the getting? Where's the good stuff? That's right around the corner. Because Jesus knows that what he's asking us to do is really, really hard for us to do. And because he knows that, one of the things that we're going to get when we devote ourselves to him, when we obey him, when we put our words into actions, we're going to get the Holy Spirit. That's exciting, folks. That means we never, ever, ever, never, never, ever have to be alone again. We get the Holy Spirit who will be with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit because he knows what he's asking us to give to him is hard for us to do. So he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us do it. Isn't that great? He puts demands on our lives, but then he gives us somebody to help us do it so that we can't fail. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's our communication piece between us and God. And we have him all the time. He's there with us, coaching us, guiding us, directing us, giving us the Word of God through every step of our lives. The hard parts, the good parts, the high parts, the low parts. We get the Holy Spirit. You say, well, preacher, that's a pretty good deal. Is there any more? Yes, there is. We get spiritual eyesight. He says in here, he will reveal himself to us. He's saying, now wait a minute, preacher. I read that in my Bible, and what I think he's saying is that he's talking to the disciples there. And he's saying that when he comes back after the resurrection, and we read the story where they see him, and first they don't know him, and then they do know him, that's what he's talking about, right? Well, in part. In part. But he's also talking about a spiritual eyesight that he's going to give each one of us. And that spiritual eyesight is the revelation when we read the Bible. You know, when you read the Bible or you're praying and something comes to you, God reveals something to you about himself or about Jesus, and you go, wow, I've read that scripture 10 times and never saw that before, and now I read it again, and wow, I didn't know that. That's revelation. That's Christ revealing himself. That's a spiritual eyesight. You know, the reason why we know the Holy Spirit is with us is because we have spiritual eyesight. God, through spiritual eyesight, we know, we sense his presence. And if you don't have it, you don't know what I'm talking about. We know those folks. How many times have you read something in the Bible, you've been doing your morning devotion, or you listen to the preacher speaking, or been in prayer time or something, and God reveals something to you, and oh man, I want to share that with somebody. So you see somebody on the street or at the grocery store, and you go, and you kind of know them, or maybe you don't know them, they're a stranger, and you think, well, that's okay, I'll share it with them anyways. And so you start to tell them about, you know, man, I was reading my Bible this morning, and you won't believe what this says. And they go, what are you talking about? You say, okay, wait a minute. And you flip your Bible open, you know. You say, here, read it, read it, read it. And they read what you read earlier. And they say, well, that just sounds like a history book to me. Yeah, that just sounds like some old story about some old guys walking around in old clothes and sandals. What? I don't get it. What are you talking about there? They don't get it because they don't got it. They don't get it because they don't have the Holy Spirit and they don't have the spiritual eyesight. That's the beauty about it. When we devote ourselves to Christ, when we put our words into actions and we obey, when we put him at the top of our list and put nobody or nothing above him, that's when we begin to really work on our faith, and our faith begins to deepen, and we really begin to learn more about Christ. And these are great blessings, and it's a pretty even deal. You know, all we got to do is obey him, be devoted to him, put our words into actions. We get the Holy Spirit, and we get spiritual eyesight. That's a pretty fair deal, isn't it? But there's more. The greatest gift yet. We get eternal life. We get eternal life. When we devote ourselves to Jesus Christ, obey him, and put our words of love for him into action, we get eternal life. We get to share with him in victory over death. Can I get an amen on that? There you go. That's the greatest gift of all. That means that when this old body is worn out and ready to go back to the dust in which it came from, we don't die. We don't go to hell. We go to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. That means when it comes time and Jesus is sitting at the throne of God, at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's separating the goats from the sheep, you remember that scripture? We get to be one of the sheep and go to be with Jesus. We don't have to be one of the goats that go to the lake of fire. Go to hell. We get eternal life. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor, that's great. These are great deals. You know, this is pretty cool. I don't think I can stand it anymore. I mean, this is such a good deal. I'm ready to run up and run around the church like a Pentecost. Don't worry, we won't. But we're thinking about it. It's in our hearts. Deep down, all of us want to get up and run around once in a while. We're thinking, this is a great deal. All I got to do is obey, be devoted to him, get my hands dirty, get out there and get involved. express my love through actions? And look what I get. Holy Spirit. I get the Holy Spirit with me all the time. I get spiritual eyesight. God, Jesus Christ is going to continually reveal himself to me, and my faith is going to get deeper and deeper and stronger and stronger. And then on top of that, the icing on the cake, I get eternal life. It's a great deal. I know you're at your threshold. You can't take it anymore. But there is more. Because when you love Jesus Christ with your whole heart, put him first, not only will he love you back, and not only will he bless you, but God will love you. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you done gone, made a left turn here now, wait a minute. I know what you're thinking. You remember John 3:16 where it says, God so loved the world that he gave, sent his only begotten son. You say, well, God already loves us. So what do you mean that's part of the deal? He loves me whether I love him or not. Well, that's true. But let's digress for a minute and go back to the man and the woman. For those of you who are married, we'll pick on you guys for a minute, those of us that are married. When you first met your spouse-to-be, and you began to date and get to know each other, you fell in love, and that was love. And you loved your spouse. And when you first got married, you loved them, didn't you? Otherwise, you wouldn't marry them. But now that you've been married however many years, that love is something different, something deeper, something stronger, isn't it? It's something that we can't really put words to. We don't know how. We just know that we love this other person in our lives so much. It's so strong and so deep that it's beyond comprehension. Well, that's what we're talking about here. When you love Jesus Christ with your whole heart and devote him, God will take that beginning love, that love affair love that he has with you, and deepen it, and deepen it, and strengthen it. And he'll reveal himself to you as well. So that love that he had for you in the beginning will be so strong and so deep, you won't even be able to explain it to people. You just say, God loves me so much, I can't even tell you. I just can't even start to tell you how. It's just so deep, you just don't even, I can't even explain it. That's what he's talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about in here. He's talking about taking a relationship with Jesus Christ and God where you say, yeah, I know who Jesus is. I know who God is. I go to church every Sunday. So what? He's talking about taking a beginning relationship with the two of them and taking it deeper. He's talking about if you sacrifice for him, if you give to him, he's going to outgive you back. That's what he's talking about. Many of you today, hopefully most of you, know what I'm talking about. You're already on that road. You're already sacrificing and giving and obedient to Christ and totally devoted to him, and you're already receiving the blessings. Christ is already revealing himself to you. For that, I say, praise God. And in fact, when you come to the altar this morning for communion, praise God for that. Thank him for that relationship. Thank him for the blessings that he's already bestowed on you. And there may be some of you that are still at that beginning stages. You're not sure what I'm talking about these greater blessings. Or you hear them and you go, yeah, I want it. Maybe you were on the road and you got off. You missed your turn off. You know, Jesus went this way and you kind of went that way and missed that turn off. And I say to you, get back on the road today. When you come up to take communion, spend a little time with God and with Christ and say, get me back on this road. I want the blessings. I'm ready to give what I got to give. I'm ready to take the blessings. Get back on that road. And then for all of us, we need to take this story. This is a great piece of scripture because it explains it so easy. You know, we need to take it to the streets. We need to go out and when people say, well, you're a Christian, why? What does it get you? You know, what can I expect if I decide to become a Christian? You can whip it right open to John 14 and say, let me read this to you and explain it to you a little bit. And you can tell him, yeah, it means sacrifice. It means you got to do some things. But it also means great, great blessings. Action and reaction. when we react correctly to God, He reacts back to us with great, great blessings. Action, reaction, and consequences.